Invite you to turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 8. We continue our study, our Desiring God series, and our focus right now is the heart of a servant. You know, we can serve, and I can preach at you and try to guilt you into serving. That's not the heart of a servant. That's not what we're shooting for. We're shooting for that we as children of God will have a zeal and a desire to serve the God whom has given us salvation through Jesus Christ. That we have such a love for Him that we do not count it as a chore or an inconvenience, but as a privilege and a blessing to serve Him. And today we continue this study. And this study focuses on what it means to follow Jesus. That's our subject today. Follow Jesus, Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Would you stand with me in reverence and honor of the precious Word of God? When He had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, "Whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father and His holy angels." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise You. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of serving You. And now I pray, Lord, that You'll put that zeal in our hearts, that burning desire to faithfully serve You every day that we live. And now, Lord, we pray that Your will be done through this message and during the invitation and throughout the course of this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I guess I want to start this morning by asking you the question very simply, are you comfortable? That was a question I wanted a response to. Are you comfortable? We'll be thinking about it because our deacons will come by momentarily and take your order. If you'd like a frappe, a cappuccino, whatever chinos there. I just drink coffee. Y'all know that's not going to happen, right? But that's kind of the mentality of churches today. Come in, let us serve You. Let us do for You. We love You and we accept You just the way You are. You don't need to change your lifestyle. You don't need to repent. Don't worry about your sin. Just come on in and be one of us. That's not what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus in our text, He calls the multitudes or the people to Him, along with His disciples. And I want you to understand it's at this point that Jesus has the opportunity to recruit a massive following if He just says the right things. You know, you got to say the right things at the right time so that people will follow you, right? So you might think that Jesus, as He gathers this crowd along with His disciples to Him, you might think He would say, "Well, if you just follow Me, I'll heal any disease that you'll ever have, and you'll have great health for the rest of your life." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "If you'll follow Me, I'll give you all the riches of the world and you'll be prosperous and have everything that you'll ever need." He didn't say that either. He didn't say, "Follow Me and you'll never hunger because I'll feed you." He He didn't say any of that stuff that you hear put out there today in the modern day prosperity preaching I guess I'd just say the junk that's in a lot of churches. You know what? Jesus, he was really good at dispersing a crowd once they came to him. And it was like he intentionally told them. And here, he does not say the right things. The things that he's going to say are very difficult. He did it in John also, in John chapter 6, verse 53. When he's had a multitude of people following him, Jesus says, "Hey guys, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Oh, wait a minute. The crowd said, "What?" Even his disciples said, "Geez, what?" He said, "That's right." Now we know what that means. He's, you know, that you receive the sacrifice of Jesus, but at that time, it was such a hard saying. In John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Why? Because he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He didn't say, "Let us serve you frappes and cappuccinos and all that stuff." He said something with some backbone and some body. You see, Jesus here says, if you want to follow me, in what we just read, if you want to follow me, here's what you've got to do. This is a must. This isn't up for discussion. This isn't, let's take a vote on it. If you're going to follow me, this is what you have to do. And see, I love the way he put it, because most people in that day, and even in our day, don't have a clue what following Jesus really looks like. And so today, we're going to map that. Well, actually, we're just going to repeat what Jesus said in mapping out what following Jesus really looks like. Number one, you've got to be saved. That salvation experience. If you'll notice there in verse 34, once again, and it's going to be our primary focus. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to a lot of different places today. But in verse 34, it said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Now, when we think of deny ourselves, we think of giving up something, like, "I'm going to deny myself so I can give to the church," or, "I'm going to deny myself of some food so I can give it to the poor." That's not what this is talking about. That word, deny, the Greek word there, literally means to disown or to remove all claim to oneself. That's what that word means. Okay? So it's not just about giving up something for a little while. This is about completely disowning and giving up all claim to your life. And the reason that Jesus says you got to do this is because if you're a child of God, you are not your own. You were bought and paid for. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Turn over there. We do that because I don't want you to think this comes from the pastor's mind. This comes from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Do you not know?" And if you're saved, here, take this to heart, okay? Take this very seriously. If you're saved, this is you. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" You know what that means in the Greek? Just the same as it means in English. You are not your own. You do not belong to you. "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You're bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Your life is not yours anymore. We have to get away from this mentality of "I want" and the seeking the pleasures and what's good for me. No, that's not what it looks like to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is a complete surrender of yourself to Jesus Christ. An absolute surrender of yourself to Jesus Christ. There's nothing off limits. Let me repeat that last statement just so you get it. There's nothing off limits about your life. Okay? That means that every part of your life you have given to Jesus. Every part. That means if Jesus says, man, I want you to be a missionary in Africa, what's your response? Here am I, send me. If Jesus says, I want you to marry this man for a young lady it's never two men. Let me make that plainly clear. Right? But if you're a young lady and you're got an eye on some young man and Jesus says, no, he's not the one. If you belong to Jesus, accept the answer. Right? And I'll tell you a good way to test that. Whether you're a young lady shopping for a husband or a husband shopping for a wife, the Bible says do not be unequally yoked together. If that person you're dating is lost, do not marry that person. Because you do not have the same standard and foundation for life. Right? Can I get an amen? The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. That's not coming from me. That's surrendering your life. But Brother Doug, you don't understand. She's pretty. What does she look like on the inside is the question. Has she been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Has she been cleansed? Surrender. There's no part of your life that's off limits. That's what surrender looks like. You get rid of the I don't want to's and the I don't likes and even your plans for the future. You know, everybody has plans. We send our kids to school and they want to grow up to be doctors, lawyers, and nurses and all these great things. And that's wonderful. But what if God calls them to the mission field? What if God calls them to ministry? You know, I've seen parents stir up a little stink from time to time when their sons have surrendered to preach. And I want to say, hey, don't you know that's the greatest honor you could have been paid as a parent? For your child to serve. Jesus said, if you want to be great, he that's great among you, let him be your what? Your servant. Absolutely. But you understand, salvation is not walking down an aisle. It's not adding your name to the church row. When you're saved, you give Jesus you. Completely. That's Bible. Okay? That's what it looks like. Now, that doesn't mean we're all perfect, but, we all stumble and fall. I get that. But the concept of salvation is you come out of the world and into Jesus Christ. Then there's a second thing that's supposed to happen after you're saved. You know, you're supposed to be baptized. Come on, give me an amen. Y'all stay with me. Won't be that long. Well, maybe. Baptism is your public identification with Jesus. Right? That's why it's important. If you have been saved, the first act of obedience is to publicly declare it through baptism by identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're saved, you want everybody to know it. Amen? You want everybody to know who you belong to. You want them to know why you're not like the world. You want them to know why you turn away from sin. You want them to know who your Savior is. And that's the first way to do it is your identification with Jesus Christ through baptism. It's another step of that complete surrender. Listen, it starts with salvation. But we got to get our picture of what salvation really looks like right. The world has heard so much, just come as you are, that people don't realize that there's repentance, there is a turning from sin, there is a complete turning to God. That's what salvation is all about. Okay? So we start with salvation, and then after salvation and baptism, we become a servant. Right? Now, Jesus didn't just say, He didn't just say, let me get over there so I can tell you what he didn't say. Mark chapter 8. Jesus did not just say, let a person disown himself. He said, let a person deny or disown himself and take up his cross. That's the be a servant part. Right? Take up your cross. See, this phrase carries the idea of denying oneself with a lethal determination. Even to the point that I don't care what happens and what it means and the sacrifice I have to make, I'm going to serve the Lord. You're kind of like Joshua who declared about his family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what this looks like. This being a servant, right? It's serving with such a determination that no matter what, you will fulfill God's call on your life. And we all have a call. Okay? God has you here for a reason and for a purpose. Right? And it starts, well, it continues with church membership. Church membership, again, people don't quite understand what that means. Church membership is not about having your name on a physical roll, even though we do keep a physical roll of the names of the members. That's not why you join a church. Church membership, when you join a church, that means you're covenanting together with a local assembly of believers who are like-minded as you are to do God's work in this community and around the world. That just, put it more simply, we become partners. See, the fact is, yes, I can serve the Lord, but you and I can serve the Lord and have a larger effect. And you and I and they can serve the Lord and have an even greater effect. And you put a whole church full together and there's just, we can have a powerful effect not only in Russellville but throughout the world. Do you realize the missionaries that this church supports? I hadn't counted the list, but the list is big lately. Somewhere close to 200,000 in annual mission support. We send out for building churches and seeing lost souls saved. Listen, I could not do that. You could not do that. But we as a church can, because people have covenanted together in their giving to continue the gospel. And see, here's the thing you have to understand. I hear all the time, well, you know, I don't have to be saved, or I don't have to be a member of a church to be saved, and I can worship just as well out at the lake as I can. Don't give me that baloney. Don't try to excuse yourself not going to church and being a part of the New Testament church that God, that Jesus Himself has built. Right? Ephesians 3:21 will tell you why it is so important to be a part of a New Testament church. Right? We all know what that says, Ephesians 3:21. It says, to Him be glory in the church. It didn't say, to Him be glory in the individual. It didn't say, to Him be glory in the preacher or the deacon. It said, to Him, being Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Here's the part I really want you to get. To all generations forever and ever. Amen. That forever and ever. Amen. All generations. See, the thing about if you say, I can serve the Lord just as well out of church as I can in the church, you're terribly misled, because Christ loved the church. He gave Himself for it. And if you don't respect what Christ loved enough, you need to get right. Okay? But here's the deal. I'm not going to be around forever. You're not going to be around forever. That's why Jesus didn't say, he didn't say, to him be glory through Doug Hambrick to all generations. What? You know, I'm going to be around for a designated period of time. God has numbered my days. And then he's going to take me home. And if it's all about the work, can't carry on. But when he says, to God be glory in the church, to Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. When it's on a church level, you realize what we're building today will be standing 50 years from now should Jesus not return sooner. And you know, one of the things that is so exciting for me when I think of standing before the Lord and receiving the things that I've done in the flesh. And listen, I've messed up enough. I'm going to be accountable for a lot of things. But one thing I do want to honor God by is by building up His church so that in generations to come, the gospel is still proclaimed and lost souls are still being saved. That's why church is so important. And your church membership is so important. Oh, you look at the great men of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're gone. But the church continues. You look at Peter and Paul, the Apostle Paul, and James, and all those guys, they're gone. But the church continues. That's why you join yourself to a church. But you do not join a church to be served. Rather, to serve. You know, I made that little joke about the coffee and or the frappe chinos and whatever. Those churches are pushing today, and it's given the wrong mentality about what church is. Church is your opportunity to serve and to glorify God by using the gifts that God has given you. Starts with the pastor. And listen, the pastor's not a career field. If you're looking to choose a career field, don't look to be a pastor. A pastor is a calling of God. Right? God wants you to be a pastor. He will let you know, I promise you. And I speak from experience. Starts with a pastor. The pastor, you know what happens when you surrender to preach? You abandon everything. You abandon the life you thought you were going to have, career field you thought you were going to have, and you say, Jesus, I'll follow you. See, that's what servanthood looks like. But it doesn't stop with the pastor. It goes on to people like the deacons. You know, everybody can't pastor. Everybody's not supposed to be a pastor, but everybody's supposed to serve. If you're a deacon, here's the deal. Are you serving? Are you ministering? The very word means to serve. Are you? And membership, just, you know, we'll even take it on down. Membership. You're not here to sit in a pew. Even though I love seeing your beautiful face every Sunday morning, there's more to it. The joy is serving and giving of yourself for the glory of God. That's what you're called to do. That's why we have opportunities like committees, building committees, treasury committee, the choir, teaching opportunities. You know, I'll be honest with you. I love you. But I can say this up here. I'm sick of people saying, no, I don't want to do that when it comes to serving. No, ask somebody else. I say that in love. But about the next time I hear that, I'm going to say, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because there's plenty of opportunity. There's committees. There's choir. There's teaching opportunities. There's VBS, college ministry, seniors ministry, teen ministry. So what do you got to carry your cross. Take up the cross. Your cross. You can't. Jesus, he's very deliberate in the way he worded this. He didn't just say, follow me. He said, take up your cross and follow me. You see, there are people who want to follow Jesus. They want to really, you know the Bible, and it's wonderful to have a great knowledge of the Bible. That's all they ever want to do. No, you got to know the Bible. Then you got to put it in practice. Do something with it. Take up the cross. But Doug, what do you expect of church members? I expect them to take up the cross. And that's not my expectations. That's Jesus' expectations. Do something. Don't just be a pew warmer. Do something. Then finally, be steady. Be steady. And what we're talking about here, we're talking about consistency. Back to the book of Mark, chapter 8, he said, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Follow. The idea behind that statement is commitment. And it's interesting the way he wrote this. It was written in present tense, carrying the idea that at any time, wherever you are, whatever you encounter, today, tomorrow, last week, next month, last month, wherever you find yourself, that you will be faithfully serving Jesus every day. That's the idea behind that phrase, follow me. See, serving Jesus is a lifelong commitment, not a temporary assignment. It's a lifelong commitment. And sometimes I think we forget that, but I looked at what the Apostle Paul wrote, and he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And I thought, wow, I want to be able to say this one day. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he said, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my race. Most important part, I have kept the faith. Have you done that? Have you done that? Do you keep on fighting even when it's hard? Do you keep on fighting even when you're tempted to lay down and quit? Do you keep on fighting even when you don't feel like it? Carry your cross and follow. I'll tell you something else, though. I understand this. Sometimes life changes. But I want you to understand, life changes, but your commitments never do. And what I mean by that is there are times that we're led into different ministries. Okay? Give you an example. Sometimes pastors become missionaries. Sometimes missionaries become pastors. Sometimes pastors are led to different churches. Praise God, I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not planting seeds here. Just letting you know, sometimes things change, right? But what should never change is our commitment to serve the Lord. The reason I say that, you see, there are teachers, and we've had them at Victory who have just said, man, I've been teaching for 10 years. I need a break. Good for you. Yeah, yes. Yes, take your break. Good for you. Thank you for your faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? But I want to tell you this. God will never lead you out of one ministry and not lead you into another ministry. God will never lead you to nothingness, is what I'm saying. Okay? Oh, listen, there are pastors who take sabbaticals. Good for the, you know, I understand there are times you just need a break and you just need to take that time to revive and refresh and spend time with God. And I get that. And it's needed from time to time, you know. But God never uncalls somebody to preach. No? God never uncalls you to just sit down and quit. There's always a place for you at the table. Right? Carry the cross. Carry the cross. And I especially say this because we live in a society of the American dream. The American dream says work hard while you're young, save your money, invest smartly, and then when you get to be older, you retire and you sit down and you do what you want to do and just live life, right? You don't have to do anything. See, that's the concept of the American dream. Get your cars paid for, get your house paid for. Then you can just sit down and have a life of leisure. And that's all right. Listen, if you're retired today and you're doing pretty much what you want to do, glory to God. Give God the glory, right? But we don't let that American dream mentality filter into our church. Meaning, well, I'm older, let's let some of those young people step up and do this. No! Yes, let's encourage them to step up, but don't you step down. God never leads you to nothingness. I don't care what your age is. Listen, you know, and I've told this to people before, I plan on following the Lord, but I have no retirement plans. None, zip, nada. And the reason is because I believe God has called me for a lifetime. Now, God may move me. He may change my station. He may open up another door of ministry for me at some point. But I never intend to retire from ministry. My retirement is when I draw my last breath on this earth and open my eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's our retirement. Okay? That's our retirement. It shouldn't just be preachers with that mentality. Okay? All of us need that mentality. That, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to serve you. Wherever I am, whatever's going on, I want to serve you. I understand there are things that as you grow older you can't do anymore. I get that. But don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on the door that God's opening for you now. There's no retirement here. There's no retirement here. Ah, but can you imagine? Can you imagine when you open your eyes for the first time in the glories of heaven? Can you imagine that feeling of joy where there's no longer tears, there's no longer crying, there's no longer suffering, you're no longer worrying, and you no longer have to worry whether the stock market's up or the stock market's down, or if the interest rates are going up or the interest rates are going down. You don't have to worry about all that stuff because your Father who is in heaven has given you the inheritance of the universe. That's retirement. God's called you to serve. We sung a song today that said, make me a servant. Are you? I want to close with this one last thought. Goes back to the text. Mark chapter 8. I want to read these verses again. I'm not going to comment on them. I want you to let God comment to them directly to your heart. Verse 35 says, Mark chapter 8, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give? What will a man give in exchange for his own soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Our Father in heaven, you have given us all wonderful opportunities to serve. Father, sometimes we forget we're not here to take it easy. We're here to honor and faithfully serve you. And so today, Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts, give us a desire and a passion to serve. Help us to serve, Lord, faithfully, never giving up and never quitting. Father, we come to this invitation, and now I pray your will be done. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you...